Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm super excited about our guest today. I know you're going to be delighted with him. I have Danny Dover with me. And in 2010, Danny assigned a deadline of May 25th, 2017 to his life. He was tired of hearing about other people's exciting lives and decided to jumpstart his own by taking steps to actually live as if the end was in sight. He tattooed his deadline on his butt, and he made the sole purpose of his life to complete his life list, a list of more than 150 life goals. While pursuing his list, he inadvertently became a minimalist in order to gain the necessary focus to create a more meaningful life. This seemingly small change in mindset, which he later detailed in the book, The Minimalist Mindset, dramatically changed his life for the better. As of 2017, Danny has completed his entire life list, which included living alone in the wilderness for a month, traveling to nearly 100 countries, mountain climbing in Antarctica, becoming a best-selling author with his first book, Search Engine Optimization Secrets, and many other adventures. More importantly, though, he has a small group of deep friendships and is able to spend much of his time writing for an extraordinary community and sharing life-changing experiences with others. It's my pleasure to welcome Danny Dover to our show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very, very excited to be here today.
Wow, what a story. That is a pretty interesting bio. And so I'd love you just to fill our listeners in a little bit on, you know, you set that deadline, but like really, where were you before that? And then what's happened since then? That's exciting.
Sure. So if we rewind about 10 years or so, I was in a rather dark part of my life and I was looking for a positive way to get out of it. I'd heard of ideas like bucket lists and I'd heard of more typical ways of dealing with things like depression, but I wanted to do it my own way. And so I ended up reaching out to people who I cared about, the people who were close to me and who were already reaching out to me who knew something was wrong. And I asked them a lot of questions, but the one that stuck, the one that really made a difference, was asking them what were some things they were most proud of in their lives, or what were some of their favorite stories from their own lives. And from their answers, from their stories, I created this list that you had mentioned of 150 items, a little bit more. And I started doing those. I gave myself a deadline, called it a life list, which is as opposed to a bucket list, which is before you die, which is rather morbid. This was more of an emphasis on life. So I gave myself a deadline. I got that tattooed on me. And then I made that the purpose of my life, to complete that list. And as we talk now, I've been done with the list for about 6 months. So I'm in a very funny part of my life. I'd structured my life, like I mentioned, for about 10 years on this list. And I'm now done. And I'm working on starting my next big 10-year project.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. So you gave yourself that deadline, though. So was that 10 years ago that you gave yourself the deadline? Is that how you did all of that?
It was so, like a lot of big important life decisions, this one didn't happen on a specific date. This is something that happened over time.
Sure.
So I don't have a start date of when exactly I started the list, because it just didn't work like that.
Okay.
Life is very fluid. So it was roughly 10 years ago.
Okay.
But give or take some time on that.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah.
So then tell us a little bit more then about how your business is today and how that has shaped your lifestyle.
So if you're reading between the lines here, you may realize that freedom is something that's very important to me. So unlike a lot of entrepreneurs, I've created a business for myself where the emphasis is on promoting and gaining freedom in my life as opposed to maximizing profits. So I want to maximize, of course, money so that I can pay the bills, but more importantly, it's time. So the way I've done that with my business is I've diversified my incomes. I don't have a single source of income that dominates my other sources of income. I actually have many, and none of them take up the majority of this. So in this way, I think I'm rather rare in that I don't have a boss. I do have clients, certainly and generally in marketing, but none of them make up the majority of my income. And so in that way, there's nobody who has ultimate control over me that other than myself and the people who I surround myself with in my life because I choose to. But as far as the business itself, I mean, it's probably easiest to call it a storytelling as a service company. So a lot of this comes from writing, but a lot of this comes from marketing, which is specifically digital marketing, helping other companies tell their own stories. And then a lot of it comes from just like small groups of different royalties. So some of this be books, some of this be videos I produced, some of this maybe online classes that I've done, all kinds of stuff. So really, the question of what do I do for a living, for better or for worse, that takes me 20 minutes to try to explain.
That's okay. It sounds like you are making fun out of it no matter what you're doing. Is that right?
Absolutely. For me, my happy place is it's very well defined, but it's very specific to who I am. My happy place would maybe not work for lots of other people, but what I've found is that a lot of the journey of trying to find meaning in your life is really just finding out what works for you specifically and choosing, making that decision to make that your meaning, rather than just looking, say, at movies or TV and trying to find what has worked for other people and trying to model that. I'm much more of an individual in that way and try to do what seems to work best for myself.
Great. So what do you think then that two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you succeed in this? And I guess telling a little bit about that story. So you're in this sort of dark place in this 10 years that it took you to sort of complete this life list. Did you come out a different person at the end of completing that?
Absolutely. So you've asked a couple questions there, skills that really define me. And then you also asked, did this change me? So let me start with that first question of what skills do I have that I think are extremely important or make me me? I received a compliment one time of someone saying that I was relentlessly resourceful, and I really appreciated that compliment. I think that it's true. I think what separates me from a lot of people, a lot of different entrepreneurs, is that not only do I not give up, but I'm also I think find ways of making what I'm looking for happen more so than other people. So I'm a little relentless in trying to accomplish my goals. So as the list was 150 of them, plus it depends how you count it. So like one of them was go to all seven continents, and you could count that as seven or you can count that as one. I don't think that the number is particularly important. So I usually just say the number of the whole list was 150, but it really depends how you count it. So how it changed me? I mean, it was not like a Hollywood movie in that I started out as a like stereotype person one way and ended up as a different stereotype the other way. It's been a holistic change. It's been very nuanced. It is something that continues to evolve. If anything, I think that I was able to identify what has been important to me, so primarily freedom, and then exploring that. So it wasn't that I started as A and ended up as B. It's more that I started as something and continued to change and realize what's important to me, who I want to spend my time with, and make everything else in my life revolve around those people and those things.
That is great. So then what's one of your most outstanding accomplishments? I'm sure that, you know, certainly that's probably one of them. But, you know, what is one of your most meaningful accomplishments, or share a couple that have really been important to you?
Sure. So there's the items on the list that I think were more interesting for people who read about them. So living alone in the wilderness for a month was one that gained a lot of interest, and traveling all over the world. That I think gets a lot of interest. But the one that was the most meaningful, the one that I think that really impacted me the most, was actually just losing weight and getting control of my own body. I put that off for a very long time. I had been overweight my entire life and made lots and lots of very powerful excuses around that. But it wasn't until the very slow process of me finally getting my weight under control that I really found something that was very, very meaningful for me and very important. I mean, it was obvious to me that being overweight was slowing me down, like say athletically, but it was not obvious to me at the time that it was also slowing me down from a confidence perspective and from a business perspective and from a social perspective. And it wasn't until I got control of my weight through diet and exercise that I was able to realize how much that was really an anchor for my life.
So that's a pretty big topic and a pretty big desire for, I would say, the majority of people. And it's one that I think that a lot of people do make excuses for and wish that it could be better, but don't really do anything to it. And then some people are very goal-driven and try to do this in a very short window of time and have some success, like even over a year. But then a year later, they're finding themselves right back in the situation that they were in. So do you have any advice for people, since that's a really important thing that you've accomplished, on how you've maintained that or, you know, stuck with it? And I'm sure it did. I love you sharing that it had a greater impact, just not just on, you know, your abilities, but your mindset as well. I think that a lot of people don't think that will change. And I think it is, I think it does.
Yeah, I think that this is this was something that was extremely difficult for me initially because I didn't think I was the type of person who could be thin and who could be healthy. I spent a lot of time not believing that I would be one of those people who got endorphins from working out or from running or whatnot. And it wasn't until I tried lots of different kinds of exercises and started to see, and lots of different diets for that matter too, and started to see some results before I started making that a important part of my life. And I think what I didn't realize and what took me too long to realize was that this was not just a follow a script and follow the advice that you read in a magazine or through a podcast or whatnot. It was something that I had to actively create as part of who I wanted to be and who I was, and then continually work on that. So as you mentioned, this wasn't something that I was just able to do quickly and then it was done. This was something I still have to work on every single day. It's something that I have to think about every single day because my default settings are me being a fat kid. So I have to actively work against that. And I have to remind myself of what it feels like when I'm not that way so that I actively work against what I think my default settings are. I don't know if it's possible to change those. I haven't been able to do that, permanently change them. But it's something I've learned that I can work against and prevent.
Yeah, I've had this last year, I've kind of had a pretty good, it's been about a year and a half journey of getting not just being on a diet, but saying this is going to be a life change. And I've done really, really well with it. So it's the weight has come off slowly. I know I am healthier than I've ever been and I'm super excited about it. But I'm finding myself with just right now, like with the additional stresses, I'm finding myself going back to the exact way that I did everything before. Yep. And that's why I asked it, because I'm personally struggling with this right now myself. And it's like, I don't want to go back. And I know what the benefits are. And I know how much better I felt. And it's like, why am I not carving out the time? Like, why was it so important that I could carve out that time for this whole last year and a half? I walked close to 2,000 miles in a year and a half.
Wow.
And because I have that tracked on my Fitbit, you know, so I know. Mm-hmm. But now I haven't walked in like 3 weeks. And so I'm like, okay, like I was walking every day almost. So it is constantly, I guess I say this because I want people to know there isn't an end. It doesn't like I'm there and that's the end. It's like it's a continuation and you still have to work at it and you still have to schedule things and you still have to put yourself in situations where you're going to be successful.
You know, I think this is kind of actually one of the bigger takeaways of self-improvement in general that people don't generally talk about is that self-improvement is always an ongoing process. It's something that is solved. And I think that it's easy to hear that, but it is very hard to live that, at least in my experience. Because you're right. I've fallen into the same kind of things you're talking about as life gets stressful and I go back to my other ways because at least in the United States, it's a lot easier to eat in an unhealthy way, right? Because there's so much fatty food that's available to us. And this is true for many countries, although not all. So how do you solve this? I mean, you can do whatever the diet of the minute is, and you can do whatever the workout of the minute is, and you can experiment with these and figure out which ones work for you. But the only success I've been able to have long-term with this that seems to supersede all of these like highs and lows that just naturally happen in life is just surrounding myself with people who care about these kind of things too and who are willing to go on this journey with you. And that's the only thing that I've found that works long term for healthiness from a weight perspective, but also from like many of the different things that I've studied in my life. It's just surrounding yourself with the right kinds of people, the people who have similar goals to you, so that it becomes more what your like holistic life is as opposed to what your goal of the moment is.
That's great advice. And I know that you're right, because when I'm really in tune with my group that I have, I do better and I feel accountable to them or their support or whatever. And I've been sort of checked out with them. So when I think about what you're saying, in the last 3 weeks, not only haven't I done anything, but I've been checked out with my group. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. And in fact, when you're not going the path that you want, at least in my experience, I'll sometimes avoid those people because I know that they're going to know that I'm not on the track. And so it actually kind of, it compounds on itself. But that positive peer pressure that people can give you, the positive peer pressure in this case of eating healthy or exercising or walking, that is something to strive forward, something to move towards, even though it doesn't always feel great.
Right. So now let's talk about sort of the opposite of that. Then let's talk about an obstacle or challenge and then how you face that and how you worked through it.
Sure. So the by far the biggest obstacles I ran to on this list were time and money. So each of the items is like radically different. So one was like learn to fly a plane. One was climb certain mountains. One was learn an instrument. One was I'm trying to find something like outside of that. It would be like learn Spanish, or it would be start a business or write a book. So these were all different items on my list, but each of those has their own difficulties and own logistics, logistical difficulties. But the two overarching themes that were always difficult, and this I think applies to everybody, is that time and money. You can get lots of time, but then you probably or maybe don't have a job, and so you don't have then you're going to run into money problems. Or you can have a job where you're working 80 hours a week, and you might have a lot of money, but then you have no time. So finding balance behind those with those two things is very, very, very difficult. And actually, like the weight loss thing, I found that just this is a constant struggle to find that balance and maintain that balance. But keeping that in mind and acknowledging that, hey, finding this balance between time and money is hard, that has helped me out a lot. And then as far as the logistics go for that, how did I actually do this? Well, as I mentioned, for the business that I started, the storytelling as a service business, the emphasis from the very beginning was to try to maximize my freedom as opposed to try to maximize profits, which is what a normal corporation is structured to do. And so in doing that, I made it a large emphasis, and this is something I think about every day, of how can I structure things or how can I create this business so that I'm maximizing my time and my ability to do the things I want, which includes me having to pay my bills. So it's me constantly approaching this problem and coming head to head with it of how do I find this balance that I'm looking for.
Right.
And one of the ways has been, as I mentioned, to diversify the income. So I don't have a single client. So of course, when I started this business, it was just one client, but then I quickly got to a point where I was like, well, what other small side projects can I do on the side that in aggregate are going to add up to a real income? I think the mistake I made a lot at the beginning was I was trying to find this one hit wonder, this one source of income that was going to pay for everything, which is a typical job. but I realized that if I wanted to get what I wanted to be able to do, which was travel all the time and be able to really deeply work on these different kinds of projects, that I was going to need to have a lot of different small sources of income, and realize that none of them were probably going to be me winning the lotto. That it was going to be that I make $20 per month here, and then maybe something totally different, I make another $20 per month. And in aggregate, those will add up. And I don't think a lot of people go that direction.
No, I don't think they do. I learned a long time ago when having my own business that having multiple streams of income coming from different resources, because the one you think is the, like you said, oh man, we've made it. Like, oh, this is awesome. At any given time can decide that they don't want to be your client anymore, right? or things can change. And, you know, I remember just with the way things were, and they were just rocking out like crazy. And then 9/11 happens and everybody cancels all their conferences because they don't want people flying in. And it was the craziest time. And it went from a full calendar to being an empty calendar in a blink of an eye in like a 6-month window. And so you just really have to learn to not put all of your eggs in any one single basket. I think that's an old saying, but it really holds true. And it's what you're saying. And I think more people today are becoming very mindful of the, you know, some people are calling it, here's my job, but I've got a side hustle. So that if your job, for some other reason that you didn't like it anymore, or it didn't exist anymore, you'd have other resources of income that then you could find that job that you either like better, or that makes you happy, or, you know, that you can move forward with. I think that when all of our eggs are in one basket, then, and if we're unhappy with that, we end up settling and justifying, well, I have a family to take care of. I have a house I need to take care of. I've got, you know, all of these things. And in reality, it causes you to live a life that you might not be as happy with if you had multiple streams or resources of income.
I completely agree. I think that our society incentivizes people to be specialists. Specialists get paid. And there's nothing wrong with getting paid, trust me. But I think there's a lot of risk that comes with being a specialist. So as you mentioned in your example, there was something external that happened. There was 9/11, and that impacted your ability to make money. Even though it was an external event, it was something you had nothing to do with. I think where I have found some success is actively striving to be a generalist as opposed to a specialist, even though society is looking for that. So I had to become a specialist first so that I could make a income and then start to save up a little bit. But then that gave me, through hard work, the freedom so that I could become a generalist and so that I could decrease my risk and I could diversify my sources of income even more.
Great. So before we go on to what advice would you give to everyone that wants to be an entrepreneur, I want to hear a little bit more about you decided to be a minimalist and then you wrote this book. And I want you to share a little bit with us on that, because this is becoming, I don't want to say a popular trend, but it is. There's books on it. There is people becoming more mindful of it. I see people talking about it. And I'd love you to share a little bit about that, because I think people look at that and they say, it looks appealing, but wow, I don't know if I can do that. So can you just share a little bit of, maybe for folks that don't even know exactly what that means, why don't you share a little bit about that and then what that's done for you?
Sure. So when I first got into this, it was not intentional. I had heard about this concept of minimalism, which is this general idea of living with less and emphasizing what's important to you and making those an important part of your life, but not having extraneous objects. It usually starts with objects. And I did this purely for logistical reasons. It's because I was traveling all the time. I was on the road constantly and I was nomadic. So for pure logistical reasons, I decreased the amount of stuff because it just didn't make sense to have those things. You can only take a certain amount of objects, certain weight of objects on airplanes when you're traveling. So for that reason, I started with a little bit of things. But then I started to realize that I didn't really need the other things that I had thought that I needed before. So let's say like a lot of the old clothes that I had before. When I started traveling frequently, I started realizing, you know, there's a subset of those clothes that I'm using most of the time. What if I just invested in those and then used other clothes temporarily when I needed them when I was abroad or from Dubai or elsewhere or whatever? And so it started with things. And then I started to realize, you know, I like this idea of really caring about what I own and what impact I'm making in the world, as far as like the environment, as far as culturally, as far as all these other things. I really like this idea of having focus and to care a lot about the objects that I did have. And then I realized that minimalism, and I think this is where a lot of people who are minimalists, where they end up, is that minimalism usually starts with objects, but then it can apply to everything. And it can apply to your social life of who do you want to spend more time with, who do you want to spend less time with, what type of tasks do you want to be doing more with, and what do you want to be doing less with, that'd be from a professional perspective. What places do you want to be spending more time in, what places do you want to spend less in? And it really becomes more of a mindset on what is important to you and how can you maximize those things in your life, and what even if you feel from society you should feel important, what's just not actually important to you. So for some people that might be clothes, but some for some people that might be the way they structure their time. So when I talk about minimalism, I talk about holistic minimalism, which is caring a lot about what your priorities are and actively defining those. But to be fair, it generally starts with just objects.
That's great. And that's great for people to understand it in a broader perspective, because I think you're right. I think most people do think about it as things, but when you think about it as time, and when you think about it with people, and when you think about, you know, work even, it's like, okay, what can I do to make my life more? I think freedom is a good word, but I think that freedom brings a certain amount of happiness when you're doing the things you want to do. I guess that's when the freedom comes in, to be just really choosing to live your life the way you want to live it.
Exactly right. When I listen to your podcast, when I review your work, I mean, you're calling it a happy place, but what I'm reading between the lines, and I imagine other people see this too, is a happy place is not just a place, it's also the environment you create for yourself. And that has other people, it has the tasks you're doing, it has how you manage your time, it has all these things. It's about the life you create for yourself, not just a specific place. And I think that is very much so aligned with what the goals of minimalism are and what the goals of freedom are as well.
It's funny that you say that, because I recently had, it was a branding company, and they were questioning me on the title of the show and that I should change it because it wasn't appealing to whatever demographic. And I thought, you've missed the whole concept of what the show was really about. And I think this is important to a lot of people right now. Am I living the life that I want to live? And and if I'm not, what steps can I do? A lot of people couldn't do what you did or wouldn't choose to say, I'm going to you know, live out this life list of these items and take off for a month and go live in the wilderness. But they certainly can make changes that are slow to say, what can I do to move toward living a happier life instead of just continuing to staying in the exact same place? And working from your happy place is really about living out the life that you want to live, of what makes you happy versus doing what you have to do or what you need to do, or where am I choosing to do my work? Do I have to really work here, or what would it look like if I worked over here? Or can I take off the time that I want? And so the people that get the show, I think, get it. So I'm really happy to hear you say that. But it's funny because it just came up about a month ago about somebody telling me I needed to change the name of the show because it's too fluffy and real business-minded people wouldn't take it serious. I'm like, So it was just interesting. It was their perspective and they're a branding company, but I thought, I don't think that's how our listeners feel. I don't, the following that we have and the guests that we have on the show, I don't think that's how they feel. So I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that I think is kind of the nuance that makes life interesting in general. I once heard that there's three stories that exist with any one story. So there's the story that actually happened, there's the story that you remember, and then there's the story that other people hear. I think that applies equally well to branding as the example you just brought up, that you're trying to express an idea, but people from their unique worldviews are going to see different perspectives on that same thing. So if you can do it well, you're going to find something that resonates with lots of people, which it seems like you really have done.
Well, thank you. We're still continuing to strive to do that for sure. So then what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Well, this is going to be hard and it's going to be abstract, but I think that's actually some of the most important things in life are abstract. Mm-hmm. But something that I have spent a lot of time asking myself, and something I think has really been really beneficial holistically, is just asking myself, why am I here? And really not letting myself just ignore that question, really diving into it. And that you can take that, as I mentioned, it's broad. You can take that in lots of different directions. But once I started to define the things that were important to me, and it then gave me the ability to focus on those things, and then everything was able to bloom from that. But it wasn't until I seriously sat down and started asking myself, why am I here, that I really started to make any progress that I thought. That was the only time that I was able to make progress that I thought was really worthwhile.
Great. And exciting things that you're working on right now. And then, of course, I would like you to tell our listeners how they can find you.
Sure. So the best way to find me is at my blog, lifelisted.com. And from there, you can find all the social media. But everything that you're looking for will be on lifelisted.com/about.
Okay, perfect. And anything exciting that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, just keep it. I have an announcement that I'll be making very soon. So please pay attention to that on the blog, lifelisted.com. And if you want to on my social media as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, it has been a pleasure spending this time with you. And thank you so much for your insights. And if you were to pick one thing on your life list, and I know I'm making it hard out of 150, but was there any one thing that was like a wow factor? Like, you still look back and you say, wow, that was the coolest thing ever. Or I'm so glad I pushed myself. Or gosh, that was so hard, but it was worth it. Is there any one big wow that comes out of that list?
Well, there were many wows. But if I have to only pick one, I would say living abroad initially by yourself. I think that made a world of difference for me in a positive way. And it was hard, but everything became just much easier after I conquered that one.
Yeah, I bet. And how long did you live abroad in any one place? Let's put it that way.
Well, I've lived abroad 10 or 11 different times.
Okay.
The longest, I think, about a year. But that ranges from, let's say, 6 months to maybe like 3 months at the very short end to a year in some places.
Okay. So yeah. We've got just a couple of more minutes. I'd love to just get a couple of your other big. I'm intrigued by this, and it's very intriguing to me. And I know that if it's intriguing to me, I know there's listeners going, I want to know what else was on his list. And you kind of rattled off a few, but if you got a couple other big wows, why don't you take this time and just share them? I'd love to hear them.
Sure. I mean, the beautiful thing about these is each of these has a really great story behind them, but been to about 100 countries. I have 2 different patents. I've written 2 different books. One was best-selling. I complete about 10,000 meaningful tasks a year. So I'm very much into a system called getting things done. So I focus hard on that. I ran a marathon, and the more important part of that is that through that process and then ongoing process, I was able to get my weight under control. I was able to get back down to my high school weight as an adult. Been to many, many amazing events. So the Olympics, Super Bowl, the World Series. I've done astronaut training with NASA. I lived in the wilderness for a month. I have been banned from a car rental company and from the country of Singapore after some writing I did about that country.
Wow.
I've been, crazy experience there. Most recently, so about 3 days ago, I was in Chernobyl, so in the Ukraine, and had a really wonderful experience there. It's still radioactive and really a remarkable place with a lot of really rich history. And I, on average, I did a life list item about once a week for almost the last 10 years, give or take. So it's been a heck of a journey, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been something I've gained a lot out of and met. And most importantly, is I've met just a whole group of really, really wonderful, remarkable people that I'm proud to spend time with.
Oh, I bet. Well, congratulations. I think that is any one of those things. You're running a marathon and doing any one of those things individually is, you know, an accomplishment, especially when you say that helped you really get control of your weight. But any one of those things all by themselves is pretty remarkable. And then to continue and to really have made that a part of your life and doing so many of them is actually pretty incredible. So congratulations to you.
Well, I appreciate that. And if anyone wants to save a whole lot of time and energy and money, while the events were really wonderful and they really did impact my life in a positive way, the thing that made the biggest impact here was just spending time with people that I care about. And part of that was just going out and meeting these people. But a lot of it has just been realizing that it's people that bring a lot of meaning to life. It's not necessarily accomplishments.
You know, I would agree with that. Some of the best times that I've had just really are surrounding myself with the people I really, really enjoy spending time with. And it almost doesn't even matter what you're doing when it gets to that. So when you say you lived in the wilderness for a year, where did you live?
So it was for a month.
I'm sorry.
In the wilderness in Idaho. A year would have been really tough. But I went in with only primitive tools. And so no electricity, no modern, nothing fancy really is what it comes down to. And I was out in the woods after, I'd done a bunch of training before this, but out there just by myself in the middle of nowhere for a month. And it was incredibly difficult, but it was incredibly enlightening as well. For better or for worse, I had a whole month to just think because you know, there's nothing else to do out there.
Right.
So one of the activities I did while I was out there is just think about every teacher that I've ever had and gone through that, the process of what I learned from them and what I appreciated. I also had time to try to understand where I wanted to go and what type of impact and if I wanted to leave any kind of legacy, what type of work I wanted to do there. And then a lot of it was just being alone with myself and just dealing with that. And it was hard and sometimes it was easy. But if nothing else, it was a heck of a journey, even though it was all just in one spot.
Well, that's incredible. So again, thank you so much for being our guest today. And I wish you exciting things ahead.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody for making time for me today. I appreciate it. Best of luck with your own journeys.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.